The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. I'm joined in the Rose Garden this afternoon by my lovely co-host of the day. What is your name?
My name is Brandy.
Hello, Brandy. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm fantastic because during this series on protecting your peace, I was so fortunate that I got to experience a real life dream come true. But because of some of the circumstances, I almost let my emotions turn it into a real life nightmare. I'm talking about me having the opportunity to attend Kanye West's Sunday service in Chicago.
Woo-hoo.
It was so fantastic and phenomenal. What happened was on Friday, I was volunteering, so I had already put up a picture on social media, hashtag Saturday service. I was out volunteering, and my friend, who knows how much I love Kanye, because she loves Kanye just as much, texted me, and she was like, oh my God, Kanye is having Sunday service in Chicago. Tickets going to sell in 30 minutes on Live Nation. I had to look, verify that it was true. It was true. I text my husband. I text my sister. I text another group of friends. I was like, so y'all, people who I know like Kanye, this is happening. I don't have any details. I'm just passing along information. Come to find out, it was true. We all got tickets. We were all so excited. We were all prepared to go the next day, very next day, from Saturday service to Sunday service. So now it's Sunday morning. It's taking place downtown. Well, not really downtown. Right on the museum campus in Chicago, right on the lakefront. It's beautiful, except it's not really close to a lot of parking. You got to do a little bit of walking to get there.
Almost an hour walking.
We did almost an hour of walking. Jesus was walking with us. And then the weather was rainy and overcast. It started at 9 a.m. We left our house at 6:30-ish a.m. to get down there. We are all so excited. Fantastic. We are having a good time. We take the trek. We stay positive and optimistic throughout the trek because we know we are going to see
Kanye.
Sunday service. I tweeted Kanye a few weeks ago and I asked him, can he please bring Sunday service to Chicago? Actually, I don't think that's what I said. I think I said I really want to see it. You know, that's come dope. On, manifestation. Yes. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but it happened. When we saw the line.
Oh, my God, the line.
Oh, my God, the line. I think the line is when my anxieties first started to creep up.
Mine, too.
When we approached, if you are familiar with the area in Chicago at all, we approached going towards the Shedd Aquarium on that street that heads towards the Shedd Aquarium. We were down near the Shedd. So there were people lined up all the way down that walk, and people were starting to curve behind. So the line was really, really growing. But then we realized that the line was really a figment of our imagination and good intentions. There were people standing here, yes. But there were other people who were going to join their friends who had been out here earlier, mm-hmm. who were moving towards the entrance instead of just standing. Mm-hmm. Hello, anxiety number one. I am a rule follower. I was very comfortable standing in that line. I thought it was what we were supposed to do. We found that that was not the case. That was not the best use of anybody's time. And that's actually not a real line. That mm-hmm. was not it. We had to go to the gates. Because mm-hmm. that was where the line was. So once we finally got through that, so many people, so many beautiful, diverse people, like all kind of people, all ages, even little kids. It was like, why would you bring? And I get in theory why you would bring the baby or the child.
But not for real.
But not for real. So there were kids. It was great. Like, everybody was optimistic. No, like, cussing, fussing. Like, in spite of all of these people, all of these crowds, us touching each other the entire time. Like, your body was pressing against somebody's body the entire time. We met friends that took the trek with us. You know, it was all positive in spite of all of these other things. The gate opens at 8:59. The show starts at 9. The gate opens at 8:59. People run. We know it.
Pandemonium.
We know it. You know, people run. All this time in my rational brain, I had asked, like, should we decide where we're going to go? Should we go to the left? Should we go to the right? Everybody had ideas, but nobody made a decision. Everybody just, yeah, we should. But nobody ever said we are going to X. So when the gates open, everybody just go. Then I will say, as a whole human team, we stopped the running, though. Do you remember everybody kind of, like, just started mm-hmm. walking?
Yeah.
Like, there were some people who tried to make it, like, go, go, go. But, like, we kind of, like, all kind of grabbed who you were next to and started walking. Because it was like, ain't nobody finna fall. Ain't nobody finna, no.
Yep.
So I will say we did that until we got through the opening of the gate. So when we got to the opening of the gate, it was a stage. There were some bleachers, the VIP section, and then kind of, like, a middle section. But yeah. We just kind of, everybody was looking for who we came with. My sister and her friends were kind of near the front of the stage. We were in the middle. So we were like, okay, we're cool. We're in the middle of the stage in the front, and we're in the middle of the circle. Yeah. So that meant we were literally in the middle of everything, could not see anything. Hello, trigger number two. So in addition to my anxiety being, you know, whatever, because of the lack of rules and structure, the lack of acknowledgement of personal space does not exist at a music festival like that. And I didn't know that. And I don't know if I probably should have known that. But when I say my body was smushed and pressed on every side, there was a man whose shoulder, my shoulder, was under his armpit because he rested his armpit on my shoulder to get his arm higher for his phone so he could record. Like, and then there was a point in time where all the crowd started pushing back at the same time. And I was like, what is happening? And Brandy saved me.
I did, or at least I tried to. Being triggered myself, like Miss Moneyhand said, when I walked in, oh my gosh, instantly when we saw the line, I'm like, oh my God, there are so many people. That is like, bing, 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 anxiety number one. We're walking, we're trying to lock arms, we're trying to make it through the crowd. And I'm like, okay, it's 8:59. It's actually like 8:50. I'm like, oh my God, when are we going to sit down? My feet hurt. We've walked forever. Like, I want to sit down. I want to stand. So what are we going to do? Like, the unknown was just like killing me. Bam. That's anxiety number two for me. Then when we actually get through the gates, there is absolutely no structure. Nobody is telling us where to go. So we're just like kind of walking around, but everybody behind us. It's like running, and I'm like, oh my God, like, what is going on? And then the show starts in true Kanye fashion. No, the thing that looked like the stage, that wasn't the stage.
That was not the stage.
In the middle of Northerly Island, good old brother Kanye decided he was going to rock the crowd. And guess what? We were stuck in the middle. Anxiety number three. Stuck in the middle, can't see anything, tight. Like Danielle said, somebody was like butt to butt with me. I'm sure it was probably just like hip to hip. It was absolutely amazing, but scary and very, it made me very anxious. But it was the most like I don't know. It was just so many. I was a ball of emotions. I was extremely like excited. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I get to see Kanye Sunday service. I'm super hyped. I was so anxious. Like, oh my God, it's all of these people. I was starstruck because when I seen Chance, I was like, oh my God, Chance. So it was just so many emotions, but anxiety. Ugh, anxiety. I was so triggered.
And it was like managing the triggers because I really wanted to remember where I was. Mm-hmm. So while I was triggered, I needed to remember where I was. This was a once in a lifetime. I cannot believe I'm here. 24 hours ago, I never would have imagined this. And then to look around and see all of those people and be smushed by all of these people, I likely would have never been in the same space with these people ever before.
Yeah.
Like, we all came. And for everybody who has questions on Sunday service and what it is, it really was a musical tribute to Jesus Christ that Kanye produced. Like, it was the only time he got on the mic and rapped was his verse for Jesus Walks. I really knew that he was about to like have like a Chicago Kanye concert and Sunday service. Absolutely not. Like, it, the show started around like 9:02, 9:03 tops. Once people were in, his team, his choir came out and they was like rocking. Like, and even the group singing, the way that I got through all of the triggers and the anxiety and being irritated by being smushed and touched was I allowed myself to get lost in the music.
In the music, yes.
Because I even have pictures. Because, and I'm not even short. People say I'm tall. Like, to me, I'm regular. Like, I'm 5'7 3/4". I could not see anything. And even with my little phone in the air, it still was phones and hands like blocking my view.
Yeah.
So I had to block out all of those distractions. I couldn't focus on nobody touching me. I couldn't focus on, oh my God, it's so many people. I had to close my eyes and remember why I came here in the first place. And when I remembered that, or when I remembered why we woke up at 5:30 on a Sunday and walked 28 miles through the misty rain and stood in lines that were not really lines and locked arms with strangers to walk through the gates to get here in the middle, it was because I really, really, really wanted to experience this moment. And if that is what I had to deal with to experience this, this was worth it.
Absolutely.
Like, when I got lost in the music, when I closed my eyes, when they did Ultralight Beam, when they just, they did so many different songs, when we had our little house music moment.
Yes.
It was so fun. And there was nothing but people around having a great time.
Yep.
Even with all of the pushing and the smushing, once people kind of got settled, it was like, okay, we good now. Like, you kind of knew like where you were. Even the dude who put his shoulder, my shoulder as his little arm holder at first, when I was like, what are you doing? Get off of me. Eventually, I looked up and I was like, I could see his screen perfectly. Thanks, bro. Like, I can finally see now. Like, I paid attention instead of just being mad about my discomfort. I'm like, so what is happening? Can I even... oh, this actually helps me see. All right, fine then. I'll let it proceed. And when it was over, I feel the same way I felt when I went to Black Friday on 119th in Ashland at that Target. My TV was worth it, but I will never.
Ever.
Never.
Ever.
No, I don't think music festivals are for me. Kanye concerts are all for me, but when it comes to music festivals, I need to have a protected seat that comes with a ticket that has like a number and a letter that says where Danielle sits her butt, and then there will be a paid usher or a very passionate volunteer that will make sure my seat and my space is protected.
Absolutely.
I think those are the types of concerts for me.
Absolutely.
But Sunday service, amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. The music was beautiful. The energy of the crowd was like contagious.
Yes.
His team, like the dude, his I don't even know what to call him. Yeah, like the choir director. Like, are they a choir?
Yeah, that was a choir.
Okay, yes. Like, they were all phenomenal. Like, I can't wait for the album. I think it's called Jesus is Lord. I think that's what it's going to be called. Mm. I cannot wait. Like, Kanye's musical tribute to Jesus. I made Jesus Walks. I'm never going to hell. It was fantastic. But in that moment, we realized, like, how to move through your triggers even while you are in some shit. I know my triggers because they were really present there. You know your triggers in that moment, but have you ever... How did you become aware of your triggers?
I think it was a physical thing for me. Like, I felt, like, when I was triggered, like, I knew I would start sweating profusely. My heart would start just racing. I would try to say stuff and I wasn't able to say anything because I was just panicking. I just seemed like I was doomed. And I was like, okay, what exactly is this? I think that started maybe in like elementary school. And as I got older and I started working actually in mental health, I was like, oh, so I was feeling like this because of this. Like, okay. So I think as a 30 plus year old adult now, I know when something triggers me, I know what my body physically feels like, and I know how I feel mentally when I'm being triggered. And I think that that is one of the most important things to have. I think that's one of the most important goals you should have for yourself is learning to manage your triggers and knowing what triggers you so that you can either stay away or you can work through your whatever is triggering you.
And I agree with that. I think, like we just said about this concert, knowing your trigger, I know in the future I'm not going to go to like a music festival where I don't have a seat.
Right.
How do you manage triggers that you can't necessarily avoid? Like, what about people in relationships that trigger you? How do you, or have you ever felt triggered by like a friend?
I have. And for me, I have had to have those times where I just didn't pick up the phone. Or I've had those times where I had to be like, hey, let me call you back real quick. Because I needed to get a little relief from that person. And I know I actually can say that I have done that myself. Sometimes I emotionally dump off on some of my friends. And I actually feel guilty afterwards because I'm like, oh, okay, I feel so much relief. And then I look at them and it's like they seem like damn. And it's like I just gave you so much and I never asked you if you were able to handle what I was about to give you. But again, that's kind of knowing when you're triggered and knowing, you know, when you trigger somebody else. And that's not an easy task. Like, that's not easy at all. So for me, I try to make myself aware, like, or if I'm going through something, hey, Danny, can I come and talk to you? Like, I have this going on. I kind of need to see, like, what type of space are you in? Do you seem like, you know, you want to talk? Do you seem like, you know, you have good energy around you? So it's just being cognizant of those things.
I think also sometimes I tend to be a fixer. So when somebody tells me something, I will automatically my mind will go into like problem solve mood. What I have learned is that sometimes people need different things from you. So mm-hmm. like I will ask like, what do you need from me in this moment? Because what I don't want to do, which I know I have done unknowingly, is trigger a friend by me asking more questions. If right. you already feel overwhelmed, if you already feel this, if you already feel that, and you're coming to a friend just so that you can vent, and then I'm the friend that's like, but what about this? Or you should do this. Or what? Like, mm-hmm. that's not helping. And in fact, it might leave you feeling more defeated and misunderstood.
Absolutely.
So I do think, like, it's important to know as a friend to make sure that, one, your friend can handle what you're about to dump, but then as the friend, what do you need from me in this moment?
Absolutely.
So that we can both make sure, like, I'm not triggering you and I can handle whatever it is that you are about to give to me. Because sometimes that emotional dumping is really, really real. How have you learned to communicate when you need a moment, when you are triggered? So, like, at Sunday service, I remember saying, like, what is happening? Like, I was so overwhelmed, and you kind of, like, just touched my shoulders, and you was like, we're good. And then I remember, like, kind of, like, just trying to get lost in music again. Like, remember why we're here. Remember why we're here. Like, stay focused. Don't get lost into all this other stuff. How do you communicate when you are being triggered?
Again, I think it's just physical. Like, I feel like people just kind of know. I feel like I might have that face where somebody's like, oh, like, okay. If you can see me. Now, if it's maybe, say, over the phone, my voice may change. I may become quiet just for my protection so that I don't say anything that may be in anger. Most of the time, like I said, it's, when it's face-to-face, it's physical. I really try not to shut down, but I know that that's a bad trait that I'm working on. But I shut down when I'm triggered. And that's always just like a defense mechanism to me so that I just don't say. Because I know sometimes my mouth. So let me just be quiet. Let me just take some time to myself. Let me just walk off. Let me pray about it. Let me meditate about it. Let me call somebody. Let me say a couple of curse words. I'll always get back to you.
I wonder, though, how do we communicate that need to people? Because that's real. Process time is real. Mm-hmm. And you have the right to have process time.
Right.
But in the midst of an argument or a miscommunication, the other person may not recognize, like, oh, they need process time. I may just see it as like, oh, so now you're going to ignore me. Or like, oh, so now you're not talking to me. Or, oh, now you're just going to leave. When in reality, they may need process time. What do you say to people? How have you learned to, like, communicate to someone, like, I need a moment to work through? Or, like, do you just not? And they figure it out. Like you said, sometimes not answer the phone.
So, actually, a couple of months ago, something happened where I triggered one of my friends, and I guess I could kind of tell we were in a tight spot with each other. So my thing is to give you your time. Like, when you're ready to talk, you'll talk. Well, that ended up, like, we didn't talk for like 2 months. It was like super tense. We would see each other and, like, we wouldn't talk. And this is somebody who was like one of my close friends, somebody that I really value, but we weren't talking. It's like we had a beef, but we had never talked about it. So I think that it is good to, for me, I learned that maybe do some temperature checking, maybe being like, hey, you know, like, how are you doing? Like, or like, hey, you know, about that situation, do you want to talk about it? Do you want to wait a couple of days? You want to wait a couple of hours? What do you need in allowing that person to have that moment to get over whatever just happened? And then you yourself, if you've triggered the person, is like, kind of getting your thoughts together, because you don't want to be insensitive. You don't want to say anything to further trigger the situation. But it's a conversation that definitely has to be had. And when those conversations are not had, then you have time to sit around and think about the woulda, coulda, shouldas. You have time to think about what angle this person was coming from, whether they were being malicious. It's just so many things. So it's good to, like, go right in and be like, hey, I want to address this issue. It may not be at this moment, but it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think, and it doesn't, like you said, we don't have to talk about it now, but if I care about you, I don't want us to leave in this space.
Right.
That doesn't feel good, but I talked about that before, like, one of another trigger of mine, which I know I have to work through and get over, but I don't like hurting people that I love or that I care about. I don't like knowing that someone is upset with me, but sometimes people will be upset mm-hmm. with you, and there sometimes you will make people upset. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're going to have any type of deep, transparent, vulnerable connection with a person, you got to understand sometimes they're going to be mad at you, sometimes you're going to be mad at them, but it's not the end of the world or the end of relationships.
Right.
But I think when we have been brought up on such toxic behaviors, when we can't communicate, we'll just be like, forget it.
Yep. Ghosting.
Ghosting, right. Ghosting is one way to do that. It's, ugh. Ugh. So how did you learn? Because I'm not sure when I learned, but how did you learn not to follow your feelings into your emotions?
I'm still learning. That's the process. Every day. I cannot say that I have mastered that. I don't even think that I'm close to mastering that, but it's a learning process every day for me.
Yeah. I dated a Cancer once. Oof. And I remember on purpose praying for me not to just to become emotionally mature, stable, and secure. Like, I was praying for that because I realized if I allow myself to follow my emotions every single time, I would be doing stuff that was so outside of me. And I said before, like, I'm not going to change my energy to match somebody else. Like, I'm going to be me. You can be you. You get to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to change me or the way that I behave or the way I move to match you.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to play the emotions game, baby, I slide right on your level and be right next to you. And we'll be looking at each other face to face. But see, that's not going to be good for anybody.
Right.
It will not be good for anybody. So I think I had to like really, really remember that and remember ultimately why I'm here.
Right.
Like, just like on Sunday service, like I could get caught up in all this other stuff, but I know what I came here for. And ain't none of these other people involved.
Nobody.
I came here for me and this moment.
Yes.
Me and this moment. But I had such a great time chatting with you today.
I did too.
It's really, really important to learn how to remember, like, even if you are being triggered, even if you are in the midst of all of these factors you can't control, just remember, one, this too shall pass, and two, remember where you were on your way to.
Right.
And why you were here in the first place. None of this other stuff matters. Just focus on that. Because when I closed my eyes and got lost in the music and allowed my body to flow with the bodies of the crowd, you could really, again, feel that energy and really feel like, I cannot believe I'm here.
Yeah.
It was magical. Triggered on a Sunday afternoon. All right. This is Danielle, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.